Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. This episode is supported by Ring, because at the end of the day, your home is your sanctuary, and with Ring, it's protected. Whether you're across the house or across the country, keeping an eye on things shouldn't be a mystery. With the battery doorbell, you can keep track of your packages and see more of what's happening at your front door in real time. If you want to make sure your yard is safe at night, the Outdoor Cam Plus delivers a wide field of view and enhanced video clarity with Retinal 2K video. And for the ultimate in detail, you can upgrade to 4K cameras and doorbells featuring Retinal Vision. It gives you ultra-clear footage that actually lets you zoom in without losing those important details. The Ring system is helpful every single day. Like a lot of us, most of our shopping is done online. There's a certain peace of mind that comes with knowing exactly when a package arrives while you're busy at work or running errands. It's not just about the technology. It's about the relief of knowing your home is secure. It's incredibly easy to set up, and it gives you that extra layer of protection for what matters most. Your door, your yard, your home, your peace of mind. With Ring, it's protected. Shop cameras, doorbells, and more right now at ring.com.
As a woman entrepreneur, you know that every connection counts, whether it's with your customers, your team, or your community. Spectrum Business is here to help you build those connections stronger and faster. Imagine running your business with fast, reliable, fiber-powered internet so you can stay connected to customers, employees, and vendors without having to worry. We know flexibility matters. That's why select Spectrum Business packages come with a 3-year price guarantee, so you can focus on running your business. Plus, enjoy savings on internet, phone, TV, and mobile services when you bundle, all with a 30-day money-back guarantee and no long-term contracts. With Spectrum Business, you get more than just internet. You get support with 100% U.S.-based customer service, real people who understand small business, ready 24/7 to help you stay up and running. Join millions of business owners like you across America who trust Spectrum Business for reliability, speed, and support. Visit spectrum.com/business today to get started. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
No, the key to my heart there. Saw Ben Rector in concert earlier this year. He is one of my favorite artists. In fact, he's got a song that my wife and I, that was our first dance song. So absolutely love myself some Ben Rector. Brand New is such a good song.
Well, I thought it was a good fit since you're brand new to the station.
I am. Hello. For those who do not know, my name is Logan Weber. And don't worry, I'll be sure to introduce myself more and more as the show goes about here over the next 2 hours. This is After Hours here on 96.5 The Fan from 7 to 9. Again, I am Logan Weber, producer for tonight's show, JT Noah, bringing some bangers, little Ben Rector to kick us off here tonight. And as I said, I am new today. It's my first time, first day here at 96.5 in Odyssey. Very, very excited to be here. I'm a hometown, homegrown kid, and I'll be sure to talk a little bit more about myself as we go along, but I'm sure you, like myself and many others, yeah, we want to get to know you, but we want to know what you're talking about first. We want to get into the content of this stuff, and there is a lot to get to here on a Wednesday night, which you wouldn't typically expect, but man, a lot of Chiefs news today. Some of it good, some of it not so good, depending on which direction it ultimately falls. We've got Kansas City Royals news, of course, the news of the Michael Lorenzen deal last night into this morning, and then some underrated signings, whether they be some waiver pickups and even a minor league deal that the Royals made with a name that many will be familiar with, that could pay some big-time dividends down the road, depending on how it all pans out. We do have college football playoff stuff to get to because we've got games tomorrow and Friday that are going to be exceptional to watch. And then, of course, you got the NFL postseason as we go along. So we'll get into some of this content first, and then coming up at around 7:15, I'll kind of tell you a little bit about myself. So let's start with some of the big news of the day today, and that is Chiefs coordinators are getting looked at hard in terms of some head coaching openings right now. Two separate teams have now requested for interviews with Chiefs defensive coordinator Steve Spagnuolo. Of course, he's a former NFL head coach. He had some limited time with the, at the time, St. Louis Rams. I don't feel like he ever got enough rope to kind of figure out, you know, was he the guy or not? They kind of made a snap decision there. Of course, he won a Super Bowl with the New York Giants as a defensive coordinator in 07 and has been with the Chiefs for many, many years, helping them win three Super Bowls. He's the only D coordinator in NFL history to win four Super Bowls, and teams are taking notice. Absolutely, they are. One of those teams, the New York Jets, as well as another team within the AFC West, a big-time rival in the Las Vegas Raiders, both of which have reached out to the Kansas City Chiefs and are looking to have him in for interviews or may have already completed interviews with him for their head coaching openings. Both of these teams making new head coaching seats available. Of course, the Jets fired Robert Saleh during the early portion. Maybe the interim is not the guy. And then the Raiders, after Antonio Pierce kind of burst onto the scene last year, and it was like, oh, Antonio Pierce is our guy. Things unraveled very, very quickly. Devontae Adams wanted out very, very quickly throughout this process after he was one of the biggest advocates for Antonio Pierce. And that 180 flip kind of threw everybody for a loop and I think was a large part of his ultimate undoing, whether it was Gardner Minshew or Aiden O'Connell at the quarterback spot. Nothing seemed to work. And for a defensive-minded guy, the defense wasn't all there. So kind of not surprising to see the Raiders have some interest in a very defensive minded guy in Steve Spagnuolo, maybe one of the greatest defensive minds the game of football has ever seen. New York Jets, you kind of thought maybe they'll go looking for an offensive-minded head coach after the last couple of guys you hired, specifically Robert Saleh most recently, was a defense-first guy, great defender for those San Francisco 49ers teams prior to getting the job in New York, and they didn't like what they had, but Woody Johnson and company are very open to the idea of kind of cleaning out house, whether that was Saleh to begin. Now that sounds like Aaron Rodgers is likely not going to be back with the New York Jets. Now, time will tell. Stranger things have happened, and he could wind up back there. But that's kind of the first domino to fall, is not one, but two separate NFL teams taking a look at Steve Spagnuolo. Interestingly enough, the New York Jets also looking at Matt Nagy, the Chiefs' offensive coordinator, former Bears head coach, took him to a playoff berth, and then things quickly fell apart from there. But the Jets completed an interview with Nagy earlier today or yesterday for their head coaching opening as well. So sounds like one or both Kansas City Chiefs coordinators could be out the door here pretty quickly, JT.
Well, the Jets, for what it's worth, could be interviewing me for all it's known, because, I mean, they're going after anybody and everybody. So I'd just like to let that know. Also, I think, I don't like to hate on Steve Spagnuolo, but I think he's a great defensive-minded coach. That's why he's a great DC. But Carrington Harris, who does the drive here for 96.5 mm-hmm. The Fan, put out that in 52 games, Spagnuolo is 11-41, which is worse than McDaniels, who was 20-32. So he's had a tough go of it as a head coach. And I think if you're the Raiders, you want to go offensive-minded because you don't have a quarterback. You're going to draft a quarterback.
Right.
So you want to have an offensive-minded head coach that could develop and get the young quarterback going.
That's not a bad idea. And for, you know, the Raiders, not to sit here and advocate for him to leave, but if you're the Raiders, who better to look at in terms of quarterback development than Matt Nagy and what he's been able to do with Patrick Mahomes throughout the course of his career? You know, there could be somebody looking in the direction of the Bills offensive coordinator. I'm blanking on his first name, but Brady, his last name. In fact, Josh Allen earlier today in a press conference was asked, you know, what do you think about him being a candidate for head coaching jobs? You know, what do you think of him as a person? And he's like, oh, he's terrible. He's done nothing for my development. Nobody better reach out to him, right? Sort of a game of reverse psychology, so to speak. And yeah, Steve Spagnuolo had a really rough go as a head coach. I mean, 11-41 is abysmal. 2-12. But I look at it from the perspective of, it's not like he had a recipe for success brewing when he was with the St. Louis Rams. I mean, this is a year or two after Sam Bradford is drafted first overall and signs the largest rookie contract ever at that point in time. Sam Bradford's the reason why we have set rookie deals nowadays. You don't negotiate with a rookie in terms of a contract the way you used to, because Bradford earned a pretty penny and did not pan out. Let's just say that Oklahoma faithful got his best years. And then when he got to the NFL, things quickly devolved from there. So yeah, both Chiefs coordinators being looked at in terms of head coaching opportunities. There's also a look happening within the Chiefs front office. So interestingly enough, the Jets they want to interview Steve Spagnuolo. They've already interviewed Matt Nagy, and they completed an interview earlier today with Kansas City Chiefs assistant general manager, Mike Borgonzi. If I'm pronouncing that name incorrectly, I apologize. But Borgonzi has been with the Kansas City Chiefs in some role since 2009. He's been with the team that long. He started out as the assistant, or excuse me, an administrator of college scouting, and then moved up to football operations, to pro scout, to assistant director of pro scouting, all the way up to now, since 2021, he has been the assistant general manager of this Kansas City Chiefs organization, and a guy that has been directly influenced by Brett Veach, who many, including those of us who are Chiefs faithful, consider maybe the best general manager in football. And I don't even think maybe is the right word, is the best general manager in all of football. So it was only a matter of time, right? And when you look at what this Chiefs team has done, winning three Super Bowls in 5 years, you've been to 4-6, and you are on the precipice, potentially, of the first three-peat in the history of the National Football League, people are going to reach out. People are going to want to attach themselves to that level of winning in some respect or shape or form. So you're not going to go out and get Brett Veach. You're not going to go out and get Andy Reid. But you can get guys who have been under the tutelage of those high-profile names for so many years and see what it can provide to your organization. Bring that level of culture in. And when you speak about the culture of an organization, you know, as I was driving to work this afternoon, my first day here, just excited for the opportunity, I'm listening to The Drive with Carrington Harrison, which we were talking about just a little bit ago, does such a phenomenal job. And he was interviewing somebody from SpotTrac talking about Trey Smith and his market value. And it's very fascinating. It's going to be fascinating to see what happens with Trey Smith as we approach this free agent market. He has already been named a Pro Bowler this year. He will likely be an All-Pro this year. I don't watch a lot of it, admittedly, but my brother is a gigantic fan of the Pat McAfee show, and Pat McAfee had A.Q. Shipley on earlier today, who gave his award for the best guard in the National Football League to Trey Smith, said he's been that good all year. So a Pro Bowler, a potential All-Pro, and getting love from the Pat McAfee show, take that as what you will. But you look at what SpotTrac has him as. I mean, we heard it earlier today. They said that he was 1B alongside T. Higgins as the top free agents on the market this year in 2025. Right now, they have his calculated market value at around $19.7 million a year. Comparable players include Landon Dickerson, Chris Lindstrom, Quentin Nelson, who back a few seasons ago at 25 years old signed a four-year $80 million deal. All of these guys are making some. Robert Hunt was another comparable player. All of those guys are making somewhere between $20 and $21 million a year. And do I think, in my opinion, that Trey Smith is a Kansas City Chief next year? No, not unless he takes a massive pay cut. Because as Carrington said earlier today, and I completely agree with it, now is the time that you go after and you try to sign Trent McDuffie and George Karlaftis to extensions. Because McDuffie, 24 years old, he's going to be likely an All-Pro again this year and not as a slot corner this go-around, right? I mean, he is going to be a true first or second team All-Pro as an every-down outside cornerback in this league, and he's 24 years old. And when you look around the league at some of the other wide or the other corners in this league that are going to earn a pretty penny, I mean, Pat Surtain's going to sign an extension with Denver sooner rather than later. Sauce Gardner's going to sign an extension with the Jets sooner rather than later. The earlier that you can sign McDuffie, the better. Because if you wait until one of those two or three or four, Marlon Humphreys is another one, right? There's guys across the league that when they sign deals, it's going to be to become the highest paid corner in the National Football League. And all that is going to do is raise Trent McDuffie's market value higher and higher and higher and higher. You already let L'Jarius Sneed go, which was the right move in hindsight. Absolutely, unequivocally, no doubt about it. But you can't afford to let Trent McDuffie go. You can't afford to let two lockdown corners leave your organization in a matter of, you know, 3 years or whatever it's going to be by the time his rookie deal is done. With Karlaftis, he's been extremely consistent, extremely solid. He's been reliable, right? Very, very durable player. He's available to you week in, week out. Is he going to wow you with his athleticism? No, but he's going to wow you with effort, and he's going to force pressures, and he's going to get sacks, especially this back half of the season. He was overly consistent. I think that if you can sign Karlaftis this offseason, you might be able to get him for a little bit cheaper than you were anticipating. Think back to what the Royals did with Salvador Perez prior to those World Series runs in 14-15, right? Before he became Salvi to everybody, for all intents and purposes, they signed him to that massive extension, which you look back on it 5, 6, 7 years later, and you're like, "It really? Salvador Perez is making that?" In those, you know, those dark days of 2020 and 2021 where you're like, man, this team's going to lose 100 games again. He was the lone bright spot, and yet he was at times the third or fourth or fifth highest paid player on those Royals teams. That might be the sort of thing that you can get out of George Karlaftis. Now, Karlaftis may not be willing to entertain contract negotiations this season. If that's the case, then you try to reevaluate. But I think if you can attack those two guys sooner rather than later, that's the right move. And in doing that, then it becomes a matter of, okay, are we really going to have enough to afford Trey Smith 2, 3, 4 years from now? Are we really going to have enough to afford a Joe Tooney 2, 3, 4 years from now? Because that is another name. I think that's a bigger name that the Chiefs need to take care of, because he's on the last year of his deal next season, and he's going to want to renegotiate as a guy who is seemingly an all-pro left guard and left tackle at this point in his career. Something is going to have to get done there. As much as I love Trey Smith, a sixth-round pick who came in and has been overtly consistent in his career, it's probably time for him to move on to greener pastures and make his money, because as a sixth round pick, he hasn't been making all that much for the last 4 years.
Yeah, and to entertain your Trent McDuffie take, Pat Surtain has already got paid. He got paid, remember, right before the season started.
That's exactly right, yes.
Yeah, he got that four-year, oh man, massive $96 million deal.
Like, yeah.
Do you think, you can't pay Trent that much?
No.
Like, Trent's got to, you would think Trent wants more than Surtain, because I would think Trent thinks he's better than Surtain. It's going to be interesting to see how it goes with the defense, because I think it'll really come down to what happens with the coaching staff, because I know it's not college, but to me, sometimes the players want to stay because the coach is there. Say Spags or even Merritt leaves to go somewhere, then you're like, uh-oh. Because my biggest fear, not only about Spags leaving for head coaching, is he takes Merritt with him, the secondary coach. Then you're like, uh-oh. Because he wants him as his DC. You're like, oh, great. Now you're going to see most of those secondary players want to go play for Merritt. So that's where I think it's going to come. They're going to wait. I think Trick McDuffie, you're trying to get him in the four-year, I would say $88 million range. And we'll see if he takes that. But it's going to be hard to get him below 98 because of Surtain's deal.
It could be. I mean, I can't see a world where he's making more than Pat Surtain. I think that Surtain is the best cover corner one-on-one that the National Football League has right now. I think that Sauce Gardner is probably in that category. I see McDuffie making probably a little bit more, but something similar to the level of like what Jair Alexander signed for with the Green Bay Packers, right? He signed a four-year, $84 million deal a couple of seasons ago. He's making about $21 million a season. I think that that is a more comparable level for Trent McDuffie. Maybe a little bit more than that, right? 21.5, 22, 22.5. Right now, SpotTrack has his calculated market value at about $21.9 million. So I think that he kind of fits right into that mold, maybe a little bit below Surtain and Sauce Gardner. But again, if Sauce Gardner comes out this offseason or next offseason and signs a four-year, $110 million deal, then it's going to be, uh-oh, okay, now Pat Surtain is underpaid. So if you don't have Trent McDuffie yet, then McDuffie is now worth 4 years, $100 million versus four for 85 or 86. And that is a drastic change in terms of the overall pay. You're listening to After Hours here on 96.5 The Fan. Logan Weber here with you, our producer for tonight's show, JT Noah. When we come back, I'll talk to you a little bit about myself, right? Who is this 14, 15-year-old kid on air? I assure you, I'm not that young. I know I sound it, but I'll talk to you a little bit about myself as we go along here on 96.5 The Fan.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. This episode is supported by Ring, because at the end of the day, your home is your sanctuary. And with Ring, it's protected. Whether you're across the house or across the country, keeping an eye on things shouldn't be a mystery. With the battery doorbell, you can keep track of your packages and see more of what's happening at your front door in real time. If you want to make sure your yard is safe at night, the Outdoor Cam Plus delivers a wide field of view and enhanced video clarity with Retinal 2K video. And for the ultimate in detail, you can upgrade to 4K cameras and doorbells featuring Retinal Vision. It gives you ultra-clear footage that actually lets you zoom in without losing those important details. The Ring system is helpful every single day. Like a lot of us, most of our shopping is done online. There's a certain peace of mind that comes with knowing exactly when a package arrives while you're busy at work or running errands. It's not just about the technology. It's about the relief of knowing your home is secure. It's incredibly easy to set up, and it gives you that extra layer of protection for what matters most. Your door, your yard, your home, your peace of mind. With Ring, it's protected. Shop cameras, doorbells, and more right now at ring.com.
As a woman entrepreneur, you know that every connection counts, whether it's with your customers, your team, or your community. Spectrum Business is here to help you build those connections stronger and faster. Imagine running your business with fast, reliable, fiber-powered internet so you can stay connected to customers, employees, and vendors without having to worry. We know flexibility matters. That's why select Spectrum Business packages come with a 3-year price guarantee, so you can focus on running your business. Plus, enjoy savings on internet, phone, TV, and mobile services when you bundle, all with a 30-day money-back guarantee and no long-term contracts. With Spectrum Business, you get more than just internet. You get support with 100% U.S.-based customer service, real people who understand small business, ready 24/7 to help you stay up and running. Join millions of business owners like you across America who trust Spectrum Business for reliability, speed, and support. Visit spectrum.com/business today to get started. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie, and one thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. Because with every fix, update, and renovation, it becomes a little more your own. So you need all your jobs done well. For nearly 30 years, Angie has helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. From plumbing to electrical, roof repair to deck upgrades. So leave it to the pros who will get your jobs done well.
Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find a pro for your project at Angie.com.
Always kind of strange when you're sitting here in the month of September, October, November, December, January, and now February, and you're thinking, oh, there's no Chiefs football on this weekend. That's kind of a bummer. But then you think about the fact that, oh, it's because they're the one seed, because they're the best team in football and have been for the last half decade. And that's why they're not playing this week, because they get to rest for an extra week before they begin their playoff push in the quest of the first three-peat in the history of the National Football League. Logan Weber here with you on After Hours here on 96.5 The Fan, our producer for tonight's show, JT Noah. And I had mentioned tonight's my first night here at 96.5 and the Odyssey stations here in the Kansas City market, and I can't tell you how thrilled I am to be here. Yes, I know that I sound extremely young. I'm not as young as you assume I am. I'm 26 years old. I am a Kansas City native, born and raised here in the metro. I grew up about 40 minutes northeast of, I may say maybe 35 minutes northeast of downtown, tiny little town called Lawson, Missouri. About 2,500 people grew up in my small little hometown, where that was a, you know, K through 12 I spent as a Lawson Cardinal. Really enjoyed my time. About 30 minutes it took me to get from my parents' house to the sports complex, so I was constantly going to games at Arrowhead or Kauffman when I was a kid. I went to Northwest Missouri State University for college. Go Bearcats. I know that that's going to refute some of the UCM and Pitt State. Are you UCM grad there, JT?
I am a mule, baby.
My sister is actively a student at UCM.
Yeah, my girlfriend is too.
She's doing her undergrad at UCM, so I get a lot of flack for it, especially in the last few years. Bearcat football hasn't been quite what it used to be, but I have all the faith in the world that we'll get back there eventually. Just made a coaching change here in the last month or so to kind of address some of the offensive woes. We'll have to see, but yeah, when I was a student at Northwest Missouri State as a sophomore, I decided decided to make a degree change and went into the registrar's office and was like, I need to change degrees today. And they're like, okay, what do you want to do? I said, I have no idea. Can I have a list? Just give me a list of degrees because something has to change today. And looked down the list. I saw sports media and I was like, oh, that sounds like fun. So I signed up second semester of my sophomore year. I ended up sitting in a radio booth, you know, sitting in a studio, board in front of me, mic in front of my face, hit the on button and been here ever since. It's been such an amazing journey. I've loved being a part of the radio realm for the last nearly 8 years now at this point, which is kind of insane to think about dating back to my college days. But after college, I moved to Springfield, Missouri, where my wife was finishing up her undergrad and grad school studies at Missouri State University down in the Ozarks. And so I picked up a job and worked down in Springfield for about 4 years. And absolutely incredible, incredible experience for me working for Zimmer Communications out of that area. And I ended up just falling further and further in love with this business and the sports side of things. But as I said, I'm a Kansas City kid. This area was where I was born and raised. You know, growing up in a small town outside of Kansas City, we always thought about it like this. For my hometown, if you needed some odds and ends, you went to the Dollar General in town because there was no grocery store. If you wanted to get groceries, you drove to Excelsior Springs. If you wanted to go shopping for clothes and such, you went to Liberty. And then if you wanted to get fancy, you went to Zona Rosa. That was what it was like for me growing up as a kid. So I'm so, so excited to be a part of this. You know, that 816 area code has never left my phone. In fact, I got my phone upgraded today. And it's like, you have an 816 area code. It's like, yeah, that's correct. I mean, it's never changed. It's been 816 since I was in the fifth grade when I got my first phone. But man, I can't tell you how excited I am to be here and be able to cover the teams I grew up rooting for. Going to games at Arrowhead Stadium, you know, the first game I ever went to was a Chiefs-Eagles game. I think that would have been, man, maybe 04, 05, potentially, right? The Donovan McNabb years in Philly. Andy Reid was the head coach of the Eagles during those years and ended up walking away with a Dante Hall poster. And a couple of years later, I went to a Raiders game with my grandmother and saw the most remarkable thing I've ever witnessed at a professional sports stadium. We're walking back down the turnstile, right? Down those little circular things as you go down. I don't know what the correct term is for those things. The little spinny things. They look like, I don't know, a piece of pasta. And we're walking down it, and my grandma points at this guy to our right, decked out in all black Raiders gear, and his back is a perfect square. Can't figure out what it is. All of a sudden, the light switches on, and you realize this dude's got a stadium seat in his sweatshirt. So my grandma and I start yelling that this guy stole a stadium seat. He gets tackled by security. Sure enough, they pull out a red stadium seat from Arrowhead Stadium that this guy tried to quite literally back pocket and walk out of the stadium with. I'm not sure how he thought he was going to get away with it. I'm also not quite certain how in 2007, 2008, he was able to sneak a screwdriver seemingly into the stadium and undo the seat, or he just ripped it out by sheer strength. I'm not quite sure, but that's the journey I've been on. I was a junior and a senior in high school during the 14 and 15 World Series runs for the Kansas City Royals, and absolutely thrilled to have experienced that because most of my childhood it was some pretty lean years there, right? Outside of Greinke and Joaquin Soria and David DeJesus and Mike Sweeney, there wasn't a lot to get excited about if you were a Royals fan. A far cry from where we were in 14 and 15, and really a far cry from where we are now. And of course, we're going to get to some Royals news throughout the course of our show today, which I can't wait to bring to you. But when we come back, I want to get on the line with us from the Chiefs on Sports Illustrated. He is the deputy editor for the Chiefs on SI, Jordan Foote. He is a great friend of mine. Had him on many, many times at my previous stop down in Springfield, and excited to bring him on here tonight. So don't forget, coming up, we're going to have Jordan Foote from the Chiefs on Sports Illustrated right here on After Hours on 96.5 The Fan. Well, just because there's no...
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. This episode is supported by Ring, because at the end of the day, your home is your sanctuary. And with Ring, it's protected. Whether you're across the house or across the country, keeping an eye on things shouldn't be a mystery. With the battery doorbell, you can keep track of your packages and see more of what's happening at your front door in real time. If you want to make sure your yard is safe at night, the Outdoor Cam Plus delivers a wide field of view and enhanced video clarity with Retinal 2K video. And for the ultimate in detail, you can upgrade to 4K cameras and doorbells featuring Retinal Vision. It gives you ultra-clear footage that actually lets you zoom in without losing those important details. The Ring system is helpful every single day. Like a lot of us, most of our shopping is done online. There's a certain peace of mind that comes with knowing exactly when a package arrives while you're busy at work or running errands. It's not just about the technology. It's about the relief of knowing your home is secure. It's incredibly easy to set up, and it gives you that extra layer of protection for what matters most. Your door, your yard, your home, your peace of mind. With Ring, it's protected. Shop cameras, doorbells, and more right now at ring.com.
As a woman entrepreneur, you know that every connection counts, whether it's with your customers, your team, or your community. Spectrum Business is here to help you build those connections stronger and faster. Imagine running your business with fast, reliable, fiber-powered internet so you can stay connected to customers, employees, and vendors without having to worry. We know flexibility matters. That's why select Spectrum Business packages come with a 3-year price guarantee, so you can focus on running your business. Plus, enjoy savings on internet, phone, TV, and mobile services when you bundle, all with a 30-day money-back guarantee and no long-term contracts. With Spectrum Business, you get more than just internet. You get support with 100% U.S.-based customer service, real people who understand small business, ready 24/7 to help you stay up and running. Join millions of business owners like you across America who trust Spectrum Business for reliability, speed, and support. Visit spectrum.com/business today to get started. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Why have I asked my HVAC guy I found on Angie.com to change my grandpa's trachea tube? Because I was so amazed by how quickly he replaced our air ducts. I knew I could trust him to change Pop-Pop's tube while I was on vacation.
Make it quick, young man.
Aw, see? Pop-Pop trusts you.
I think we should call a doctor.
Connecting homeowners with skilled pros for over 30 years. Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find pros for all your home projects at Angie.com.
Too often, green laundry detergents come with a compromise. They're better for the planet, but worse at the one thing that matters most, cleaning your clothes. Dirty Labs believes you shouldn't have to lower your standards for the sake of sustainability. Using advanced green chemistry, they created a detergent that uses an entirely new cleaning engine, inspired by the genius of nature. If Dirty Labs can't make you believe in the power of green cleaning, nothing will. Fall in love, or it's free, at DirtyLabs.com.
Kansas City Chiefs football to watch this weekend doesn't mean that there's not a lot of Kansas City Chiefs content to get to, and I feel like we hit a lot of it in the first half hour of the show here tonight on After Hours. Logan Weber here with you. JT Noah is our producer for tonight, but we still, only like half of it, so we still got a ton of Chiefs content left to go, and we may hit some of it right here, right now, as our special guest on the line is Jordan Foote. He is the deputy editor of the Chiefs on Sports Illustrated, and Jordan, we're very familiar with one another. I've interviewed you many, many a time, but this time on a different signal in a different area. Excited to be doing it from Kansas City this go around.
1,000%, man. Got a new person behind the scenes. Talked to JT right before I came on. So excited for that. And very excited for you and the new endeavors, and excited for some playoff football. And the Chiefs won't be a part of that this weekend, but I still think that we're shaping up for a pretty good bracket on both sides of the ball.
Man, this one should be this run should be a lot of fun, and there's so much to start with. I want to say, but I'm curious to get your thoughts first and foremost on a lot of this news about Chiefs coaches or Chiefs front office staff who are being looked at extremely hard for some head coaching openings, right? Specifically, the New York Jets seem to be just trying to garner the entire Chiefs coaching staff and front office to come be a part of their organization. Woody Johnson seems to be that desperate. What do you make of Nagy and Steve Spagnuolo both interviewing for some head coach jobs or being of interest for head coaching openings, as well as the, you know, the Chiefs assistant GM and Mike Borgonzi getting some looks from New York Jets and their organization?
I think if I had to rank from most surprising to least surprising that they're getting requests and actual interviews and all that good stuff, Spagnuolo definitely number one by a pretty comfortable margin. Then Matt Nagy, I'm not terribly surprised that he's getting any interest. And Mike Borgonzi, he has experience on the pro scouting side. He has experience on the college scouting side. He's done the assistant GM work with draft picks and free agent signings and trades, contract negotiations. Like, he is overqualified almost for a job at this point, as he's been with the Chiefs for, I think it's 16 years, and has worked his way all the way up from scouting on both sides to now being the assistant GM. The Jets are smart to interview him. I think that there's also the possible domino effect, right? When, let's say, when Brant Taylor's left to the Panthers, then you're thinking, okay, well, can he get anyone from the Chiefs to go with him? That applies to Borgonzi. I think that that applies to the coaching staff. And if, let's say, Matt Nagy did leave, would a Girardi or a Joe Blamire be potentially kind of picked off and brought over with him? Or if Steve Spagnuolo left, Joe Cullen just got a recent contract extension following the Super Bowl last year. Dave Merritt, one of the best defensive backs coaches in football. I think that Borgonzi is the most likely candidate to move on from that group. Spagnuolo, he commented, I think it was early last week or late the week before, still interested in head coaching, and it was a little bit softer of a comment than what he had at Super Bowl Media Week last week. Where he's 65, 66 years old, it has to be a really good opportunity. The Raiders jumping in there was a little bit funny. I thought that was a little bit hilarious during the day, but the Jets being wise to leave no stone unturned in their pursuit of all these coaches. And I think that, again, Borgonzi, very, very qualified for it. All three of these guys could be. And even back to Matt Nagy real quick, I forgot that he won Coach of the Year that first season in Chicago. That just was completely wiped from my memory. I think that as time goes on, the Bears continue to look bad, and Mitch Trubisky is a journeyman backup quarterback. Maybe Matt Nagy deserved a little bit more credit for what he did with that team, but definitely three deserving guys, and I think that at least one of them is going to end up getting offered an opportunity if they keep through with this interview process.
So focusing specifically on Matt Nagy and Steve Spagnuolo, let's say one or both of those guys ends up accepting a head coaching opening that is somewhere in the National Football League. You mentioned Dave Merritt as a guy that could potentially follow Steve Spagnuolo wherever he decides to go. Is, in your opinion, is there a possibility that he could be the heir apparent to Steve Spagnuolo if he were to go, if he were to be hired as the defensive coordinator in Kansas City, or would there be an outside hire? And I guess on the flip side, for the offensive side of the football, if Nagy leaves, I know everybody's eyes and mind is going to go to one name first and foremost, and that's Eric Bieniemy, who is recently unemployed after a not-so-great season with the UCLA Bruins. What, you know, is there smoke to that fire? I'm just curious to get your thoughts.
Yeah, I think that if Spagnuolo left, that it does make sense for a Dave Merritt. And I want to say it's been 11 years that he's worked with Steve Spagnuolo and had the interview last year. I think it was with San Francisco for their defensive coordinator opening when they ended up going with Nick Sorensen. He's qualified for it again, I think, as a leader of men, an influencer of men, a locker room guy, players coach, absolutely awesome. I have nothing but good things to say about Dave Merritt. And I also think that working under Spagnuolo could really formulate his own unique system, the familiarity with the players. Like, it would work for him, especially with his children wrapping up school. And he has a younger one that he's been on record saying he doesn't want to take the opportunity until it's a little bit further down the road. If he stayed in Kansas City and didn't have to relocate, I do think that would be near perfect for him. Now, you can mention let's say, Robert Saleh, guys that have been out and about. Lou Anarumo got fired by the Bengals this week. There are high-profile names out there, but if Spagnuolo did leave, I think Colin would get consideration for an interview. I think that Dave Merritt would definitely be on that short list. And then on the offensive side, if Nagy leaves, you can go to really a whole kind of spiel of assistant coaches here. And it's not going to be like the Connor Embry show running the Chiefs offense, but they could go to Andy Heck for a little bit more. I don't want to say jumping from O-line to OC, but a little bit more input on how the offense goes. David Girardi, the quarterback's coach, could definitely do it. Tom Melvin at tight end, I think, is probably going to be staying put. But Joe Blamire, Logan, would be the name to keep an eye on, the assistant pass game coordinator. And he just, every time he speaks, the insight he has and the attention to detail that he has really jumps off the screen. And I think that he'd be qualified down the road for it. But again, we're playing the what-if game. We're playing the Spagnuolo's a little bit older. Nagy has a little bit of a track record of not having sustained success. So we have to see how these things happen. But we are at the point where on Wednesday, the Jets did interview with Borgonzi. I believe the Tennessee Titans put in a request for him. Spagnuolo has been requested by two teams, and Matt Nagy, of course, interviewed with the Jets over Zoom. So it's becoming a realer thing than even I anticipated. I thought that maybe Borgonzi would get a couple interviews or a job and the coaches would stay put, but teams are kind of doing their due diligence, which is what they should be doing as the offseason progresses.
No question about it. And where better to look first and foremost than with a team that's won three Super Bowls in the last 6 years and have been to four and, you know, could be on their way to accomplishing history and something that's never been done before in the National Football League. So, you know, talking about some of the big storylines for the Chiefs this week, one of those is the, you know, we finally got the compensation reveal for the DeAndre Hopkins trade, and it's going to be a fifth rounder going to Tennessee and not a fourth because Hopkins played less than 50% of the snaps and things of that nature. How big of a move is that going from a fifth to a fourth? And alongside that, with the L'Jarius Sneed trade, it seems like the Tennessee Titans got the brunt of a bad deal twice when it came to trading with the back-to-back defending Super Bowl champs.
Yeah, the Chiefs definitely need to consider doing more deals with the Tennessee Titans. I think that now, and granted, their GM did get fired this week after two disappointing seasons up there, and Borgonzi is under consideration for that job as of Wednesday, but the Sneed trade couldn't have worked out better for them. They got the cap space they needed to extend Chris Jones to a really hefty contract extension. They got the draft capital. Jalen Watson emerged as a really good player in the secondary before he got hurt, and L'Jarius Sneed didn't even come close to replicating what he did last year. Now, prior to the season, and really when they did trade Sneed, I was in the camp of just pay the guy. Because he had worked the system perfectly. He had worked the system on defense, the draft system, the free agency system, the negotiation. All of that was near perfectly handled by him. And I thought he could sustain the level of play he had. And granted, with the knee injuries and the things he's got banged up with over the year and the transition to Tennessee, just didn't keep it up. So that worked out really well. They're going to have back-to-back picks to close out day two of the draft. That's going to help really well. And then the Hopkins trade, I don't want to say that they intentionally did that. And I've seen some people on Twitter, you know, insinuating that they've intentionally kept him off the field because they're aware of that incentive. And I think that when you're trying to win games, the difference between a fourth round pick and a fifth round pick in 2025 is not going to make or break any decisions that they're going to make. So sure, it was probably in the back of their mind. Yes, they probably had a plan, but also a little bit older player, a guy who had a knee injury early in the season. There's a lot of mouths to feed in that offense, and they were winning games anyway, so it never came back to bite them. I think that everything aligned perfectly there, and he didn't hit the incentives in week 18. So that was managed well. The Sneed trade was managed well. And the moral of the story there is if Brett Veach wants to, you know, stock up on some draft capital, he probably needs to call the Tennessee Titans and go from there.
Not a bad idea. Not a bad premise for him moving forward. We'll have to see. But, you know, along the lines of the Hopkins deal, well, I do agree with you. I don't think that the Chiefs were deliberately trying to make sure that he got below the 60% of regular season snaps and all those sorts of things. It just kind of played out that way. But now that, you know, you had last week, you've got this week before you have that divisional round game coming up in a couple of weeks. Do you see a possibility of Hopkins being on the field more, getting, you know, more than those 60% of snaps and maybe being quote unquote unleashed a little bit more on these opposing defenses in this postseason?
Yeah, I think 1,000%. And you can go back to, I want to say it was the Tampa Bay and Denver game in weeks 9 and 10. He was at like 60, 65% of the snaps, and I expect him to be up there, if not even higher. And with Hollywood Brown back, they don't have to force Xavier Worthy into the Hollywood role. They can play Hopkins strictly as the guy that is going to win the contested catches and be the de facto X that the Chiefs don't typically use too much, but I think do have a spot for in the offense. So that's going to be good. I think the top three is very, very established, and people have been complaining, and rightfully so, about Justin Watson and his play, and he continues to get snaps because, Logan, he can play every wide receiver position they need. He can line up in the slot. He can threaten down the field a little bit with his vertical athleticism. He understands the system very well. He knows where to be, when to be there. It just hasn't broke right for him this year after a career season, and I think that he's gotten overexposed a little bit. Kind of reminds me of like a Dan Sorensen, where if he's your fourth safety or your third safety, you're doing okay and there's a clear spot for him. But when he gets overexposed and he's, you know, playing 80% of the snaps, then you're getting underwhelming results. So the player definitely got some due criticism throughout the year, but also the offense called for it. Now heading into the playoffs, Hollywood fully healthy, close to fully acclimated in the offense. Worthy playing his best football by far in the second half of the season, and DeAndre Hopkins refreshed, recharged, no longer having that dark cloud of playing time held over his head and the typical Chiefs offense bump for the playoffs. I do think that there's a little bit of stock to be put in that. So long road to a short path, but I do think Hopkins is going to be able to be at his fullest, whatever that 100% mark is for the stretch run here.
And that stretch run will begin next week in the divisional round against either the Houston Texans or the Los Angeles Chargers. And my final question for you tonight, Jordan, you look at that matchup, right? L.A., despite being on the road team in this affair, is a 3-point favorite against a Texans team that is riddled by injuries and has had, let's face it, lackluster quarterback play from second-year starter C.J. Stroud. Who would you rather see? Maybe not who you think will win, but who would you rather see if you're the Kansas City Chiefs when it comes to a divisional round game and a trip to the AFC Championship on the line? Is it the Chargers or is it the Texans?
No love for the possibility of the Denver Broncos upsetting the Buffalo Bills. Logan, what's up with that?
I guess I would be remiss if I didn't mention that it could be the Broncos. That's a fair point. Could be the Steelers against the Ravens. But taking a look at it from my perspective, picks, I do think that the Ravens beat the Steelers, and I think the Bills down the Broncos. Although that one might be a closer game than many are expecting. I'm not sure about that 8.5-point spread. So I guess we'll open it up to the gambit of teams that the Chiefs could possibly play, whether it's the Texans, Chargers, Steelers, or Broncos. Give us the team that you would like to see the Chiefs play most, and maybe the team you'd like to see them play the least.
You know, I'm just yanking your chain, man. I fully agree that I think it's going to be chalk in the opening round in the two heavy-seeded matchups. The one that, again, like you mentioned off the top, it's got to be L.A. and Houston to keep an eye on. And I think the Chargers end up winning that game. But if you're the Chiefs, I think you want Houston again. Because you don't want to face the Chargers a third time in a year. They can run the ball a little bit. They have Zeke now, whatever he has left in the tank. I think they have the better quarterback than Houston. They have a better defense, even though Houston's defense is pretty darn good. I just don't buy the Houston offense. And I like C.J. Stroud quite a bit. I was putting him in the top 10, top 7 conversation after a rookie season because I thought he'd be ascending, and he just hasn't been. He's kind of over-reliant on Nico Collins. The Tank Dell injury saps them of a little bit of explosiveness. He takes a ton of sacks. The offense and pass protection has been very poor. Losing Joe Mixon, getting Joe Mixon hasn't been the complete answer, I think, on that offense. So Houston's defense is going to give the Chiefs a little bit of trouble, but I'd fully go them over L.A. And I do think, though, that the Chargers are going to come to GEHA Field at Arrowhead next, I guess that'd be Sunday, potentially for the divisional round of the playoffs.
Well, it's over a week away, so we've got some time to gear up for it, but definitely looking forward to the possibility of the Chiefs. Only got to win one to get to an AFC Championship game, and you only have to win two in order to get yourself to a third straight Super Bowl and an opportunity to make history with that three-peat. Jordan Foote from Chiefs on Sports Illustrated joining us right now. Jordan, appreciate it as always, my man. Enjoyed it.
Yep, likewise. Take care, man.
Thank you very much. You as well. That is Jordan Foote, again, deputy editor of the Chiefs on Sports Illustrated. Good friend of mine, good friend of Joshua Briscoe as well, who is a mutual connection between the two of us. Josh, very familiar to these airwaves. He was on with Carrington earlier today. I texted Jordan and was like, hey, you know, today's my first day on air at 96.5. Can you come on for a segment to talk Chiefs? Right as I was getting my phone upgraded, I went to a T-Mobile store and got my phone upgraded. So I never got a text back from him. And so I texted him again and I was like, hey, if you're not available tonight, no worries. Maybe we can try tomorrow. And he's like, well, I texted you. I guess it just didn't go through. He's like, so he was taking all the blame. I was like, no, that's my fault. I did that. And then I was like, well, maybe I'll text Josh and see if he's on. And right as I was thinking about that, I hear Carrington introducing Josh. And I was like, oh, well, maybe I won't have Josh on twice in one day here on this station. But you're listening to After Hours here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports. Oh, that sounds like summer music. I wish.
Wait, we're not in the summertime here? I didn't notice there was snow outside. Wait, we're not in the summertime?
No, unfortunately, we're not. No, I say that. I'm a winter guy. So if there's one thing I haven't admitted yet, it's that I am an Iowa fan. So I said I'm born and raised in Kansas City, but my dad was born and grew up in Iowa. In fact, my dad grew up on a pig and chicken farm in a tiny little unincorporated community called Hawkeye, Iowa. So the choice was made for him. The choice was made for me. We had no say in the matter. But I got Iowa in my blood. A lot of my family's also from the Nebraska or Minnesota areas as well. So winter is kind of where I like to live. I would rather it be 15 degrees than 100 degrees. I know that's insane for most people to hear, but that's how I am. And unfortunately, you know, when I got the job here and I accepted it, I knew that Iowa and Mizzou were going to be playing in the Music City Bowl a little under 2 weeks ago, I should say. And I was very much looking forward to the potential of being able to lord that over the Mizzou Tiger faithful around the station. Unfortunately, that did not go according to plan. So
Brady Cook went out.
Yeah, he did. He certainly did. Yeah, he carved up Iowa's defense, which is pretty much the only thing we have to hang our hats on most of the time. And unfortunately, didn't go well for us at all in that game.
He carved them without even Luther Burden. That's how much it was.
Okay, all right. Listen, JT, you're giving me a lot of flack over there, and I don't appreciate it. All right, we were also without our best player in Caleb Johnson, who decided to forego the bowl game and go to the NFL draft. Hawks still ran for like 150 yards.
So it's kind of funny how both players for both teams, the spot they were missing actually played pretty well without him.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I was not expecting either one of those two facets of the game to be as good as they were, but inevitably, that's how these things go.
Is your kick returner returning?
Yes, Caden Wiegen.
Yeah, that guy's fast.
Yes, he is very, very fast. He was just earlier this week named the returner of the year in college football. The Jet Award, I believe, is what it's called now.
An awards name.
Yeah, that's kind of a sick name, I have to be honest with you. So, he's coming back next year. Iowa, you know, we're aggressive in the portal. Yesterday, they landed Mark Gronowski, was the quarterback at South Dakota State.
Jackrabbits.
Yes, sir. Won a couple of national championships. He was the Walter Payton Award winner back in 2023, which is the Heisman Trophy for the FCS. I feel like I have to kind of throw the FCS out there. It's sort of ingrained in me at this point, covering Springfield, Missouri, which is where Missouri State University is. I covered a lot of the FCS, a lot of the Missouri Valley Conference. That is correct. The Missouri State Bears. So
yeah, you did the Missouri Valley Conference. So you were pretty happy when Drake pulled off the Northwest, I bet you did.
Yeah, I was, sort of a double-edged sword for me, I have to say. I was extremely thrilled for Ben McCollum as a Bearcat grad who had an opportunity to get to know Ben quite a bit over my years there, whether it was, you know, being around him, covering the team, and being, I worked in the athletic department as well, and we had a tradition where we played, we called it noon ball. Pretty simple. We would meet at the basketball court at noon every day, Monday through Friday, and we'd play pickup for an hour. And, you know, I had so much fun getting to know Mac. And so seeing him leave Northwest was kind of heartbreaking in some respect, but it was also cool to see him get an opportunity like that and to see what he's done with it so far, right? I mean, they beat K-State a couple of weeks ago. They took down Miami in an early season tournament. They have been very, very impressive, due in very large part to the bulk of their roster being former Bearcats that moved with him.
Yeah, my good friend, Jacob Elliott, he went to Northwest, knew Ben pretty well as well, and he calls them the Drake Bearcats because he's like, they have so many Bearcats on them. And I was just checking scores, and they were up 8 with 3 minutes to go, so it looks like they're about to bounce back from their first loss of the season.
Yeah, lost to Murray State earlier this week, or maybe late last week, so good for them to get the bounce back. It'll be a lot of fun to watch. So we're going to hit our first break of our end of hour break here, hour number one of After Hours here on 96.5 The Fan. Make sure you stay tuned. Hour two coming your way next. Logan Weber joined by JT Noah here in the studio, your home for Kansas City sports.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. This episode is supported by Ring, because at the end of the day, your home is your sanctuary. And with Ring, it's protected. Whether you're across the house or across the country, keeping an eye on things shouldn't be a mystery. With the battery doorbell, you can keep track of your packages and see more of what's happening at your front door in real time. If you want to make sure your yard is safe at night, the Outdoor Cam Plus delivers a wide field of view and enhanced video clarity with Retinal 2K video. And for the ultimate in detail, you can upgrade to 4K cameras and doorbells featuring Retinal Vision. It gives you ultra-clear footage that actually lets you zoom in without losing those important details. The Ring system is helpful every single day. Like a lot of us, most of our shopping is done online. There's a certain peace of mind that comes with knowing exactly when a package arrives while you're busy at work or running errands. It's not just about the technology. It's about the relief of knowing your home is secure. It's incredibly easy to set up, and it gives you that extra layer of protection for what matters most. Your door, your yard, your home, your peace of mind. With Ring, it's protected. Shop cameras, doorbells, and more right now at ring.com.
Washing your dishes before you wash your dishes? Dirty Labs believes going green in the kitchen should not mean doing extra work. Their bioenzyme dishwasher detergent cuts through stuck-on food and leaves dishes sparkling, without compromising on safety or performance. No pre-rinse, no post-rinse, no compromise. Just powerful cleaning made without harsh chemicals. If Dirty Labs can't make you believe in the power of green cleaning, nothing will. Fall in love, or it's free, at dirtylabs.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Did you know that there are over 200 legends like Andrew Jones, Albert Pujols, Felix Hernandez, and Ken Griffey Jr. in MLB The Show 26? Collect them all and current all-stars to build your perfect lineup. MLB The Show 26 is available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.